A few weeks ago on Wednesday night, we studied a lesson from 1 Kings. The lesson was about what happened when King Ahab, king of Israel, the northern kingdom, and King Jehoshaphat, the king of the southern kingdom, Judah, came together and joined forces. This account is found in 1 Kings chapter 22, and it will serve as the text for today's lesson, at least to get us thinking about what it is we're supposed to be doing. 1 Kings chapter 22, these two kings wanted to go up and take Ramoth-Gilead. And so Ahab went to get King Jehoshaphat and said, let's get together. The two of us together can take back Ramoth-Gilead. And so when Ahab asked the king if he would do it, the king said, absolutely. Everything that's mine is yours. And so they had went together. Well, King Ahab had asked the prophets of the northern kingdom about what would happen. Is this going to be a good thing? Is this going to be successful? Is this the right thing to do? And of course, they wanted to please their king, so they didn't care what God thought. They just said, absolutely, this is what you need to do. Well, King Jehoshaphat was a little more concerned about what God said than Ahab was. And he said, isn't there a prophet of God around here we can go talk to that I really want to hear from him? And they said, well, yes, there's old Micaiah over here, but you really don't want to go talk to him. He never says one good thing about Ahab. And Jehoshaphat said, well, I'd still like to hear what this prophet says. Before we go up to take Ramoth-Gilead, I'd really like to know what God thinks about the whole situation. And I'm sure you remember that account. They go hunting up Micaiah, and they find him, and the messenger tells Micaiah, Micaiah, now be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. You know, please tell King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat that everything is fine, that everything will work out. Don't prophesy bad things to them. You know, if you don't have anything good to say, be quiet. Kind of what he was telling them. Well, that's not exactly what Micaiah came back and said. 1 Kings chapter 22. And let's look at particular verse 14. This comes right after the messenger told Micaiah, please say encouraging words. Please say, tell Ahab, yes, God's behind you. Tell Ahab that, yes, you're doing what's right. Well, Micaiah comes back in verse 14 and says, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. If we were putting in our own language today, we'd be saying, it doesn't make any difference what anybody else says. If God tells me to say this, that's exactly what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say it to please you, to please the crowd, to please the family. Nothing. I'm simply going to say what God says. And of course, that's exactly what Micaiah comes back and does. Ahab wasn't happy about it. The messenger wasn't happy about it. But God was happy about it because Micaiah told the people exactly what God wanted him to say. Now, I put this before you today. That must be our attitude in everything in our lives. Whatever God says, that's what I'm going to say. And, of course, God doesn't speak to us directly as He did Elijah, in this case, or Elisha, or Micaiah, I'm sorry. God doesn't speak to us directly like that, but God does speak to us, and He has spoken to us, and His Word has been finalized. We know exactly what God says. He has told us what He says. And so we don't have to worry about what God says because we can open up the pages of God's Word and know this is God's Word. And I can be certain of it, and I can know that this is what God says. So I can reply when anybody says, asks me a question about the Bible or says anything to me about the Bible, I need to be able to come back and say, just like Micaiah did, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Whatever the Lord says to me in God's Word, that I will speak. Not put any conditions on the end of that sentence. Just whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. When we look at all the great characters in the Old and New Testament that are thought of as being God's people, we see they followed that same thing. Look at Noah in Genesis chapter 6. What did Noah do? Well, God told him specifically what to do. He told Noah specifically how big to make the ark, what to make it out of, and so forth. Did exactly what God told him. And when we look at Genesis chapter 6, the last verse in that chapter, verse 22, this verse, for the most part, sums up Noah's life. Genesis chapter 6, notice what verse 22 says. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. What did Noah do? He did exactly what God wanted him to do. What would have happened if someone would came up to Noah and ask about the ark, and maybe wanted Noah's advice about the ark? What would Noah have came back? He would have said, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to tell you. What if one of his three sons would have came up, altering the story somewhat? What if one of his sons would have came up and said, Noah, I know God told you to make it out of gopher wood, but you know, I think there's a better wood. Maybe it's a little more water resistant, a little stronger, a little easier to work with. Why don't we change it? Noah would have came back and said, uh-uh. Whatever God says, that's what I'm going to say. God said make it out of gopher wood. That's exactly what I'm going to do. It wouldn't have made any difference if his son would have asked him to change it. He wouldn't have changed it for his son. He wouldn't have changed it for his wife if his wife said, I don't like the looks of gopher wood. He wouldn't have changed it. If one of his daughter-in-laws would have said, I think we need to have more room on the inside. It's not big enough, Noah. Let's make it bigger. Noah said, no. God has told me exactly how to make the ark, and I'm not changing it for anyone. And we find that to be a noble characteristic. We go on to the life of Abraham. I mean, look at what he went through. He was called out of his homeland to go to a strange country. And yet, by faith, he knew that God was behind him. And Abraham was going to do exactly what God wanted him to do. He was going to go exactly where God told him to go. And so whatever God said, Abraham was going to do. And if you remember, he took much of his family with him. Same thing would have happened in those circumstances if Lot, his nephew, would have said to Abraham, I know God says you really need to go to this area, but I heard through the grapevine that there's a pretty good place to settle down over here in this new land. Abraham said, no, that's not where God told me to go. I'm not going there. If you want to go there, Lot, you go ahead. But I'm not going. Abraham wanted to follow God. And when God said, Abraham, it's time to go, and it's time to go here, that's exactly what he did. There wasn't any questioning of God. God, why here, or why now, or why with these people? Can it wait? No, that wasn't Abraham. Abraham trusted God, and he left. We go to the life of Moses. We go to the first part of the book of Exodus, and we find what kind of person Moses was. And we see over and over and over in Moses' life that Moses was concerned about, thus says the Lord. You see that phrase repeated so many times in the book of Exodus. God would tell Moses such and such, and Moses would go tell the people exactly the same thing. Moses was like Micaiah. Whatever my Lord says, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to say. Regardless, that's what I'm going to do. Moses had to tell the people on many times things that he may not have personally wanted to say. But he knew he had to because it was God's will, and he wasn't going to change it. Nor was he going to speak when he had not been spoken to by God. So when God spoke, Moses spoke. When God was silent, Moses was silent. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly how we need to be about everything concerning the Bible. When God speaks, we need to speak. When God's silent, we need to be silent. Whatever my God says, that's what I'm going to say. That must be my attitude. And not because I'm preaching here today, but because I'm a Christian. That's what's important. I have to be like Micaiah, and I must have that same spirit Micaiah said. And I can't change it to please anyone for any reason. I simply cannot do it. I don't have the right to do it. And you might think, well, that's fine for the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Well, we find a great example in Acts chapter 4, and I would encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 4. This, of course, is soon after the beginning of the church. We find Peter and John. They've been arrested, we might say. They're appearing before the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. This is in Acts chapter 4. And notice what happens in verse 20. They had been told by the Jewish rulers, stop speaking about this Jesus. They had been commanded by the Jewish council, do not speak about this Jesus. Stop it right now. So Peter comes back in verse 20, Peter and John. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter and John says, it doesn't make any difference whether you tell us to stop speaking or not. They said, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. So you are the rulers of the Jewish people. That doesn't make any difference to us. We're answering to a higher power. God has told us that we must speak, Peter and John says, then we're going to speak. Even though they were threatened, they were commanded not to do it, they didn't allow the threatenings of these authorities in the Jewish land to stop them from speaking. They didn't stop. So look at these characters. Look at Moses, and look at Abraham, and look at Noah. Look at Peter and John. And the list could go on many other times. Of all the people who exhibited the same behavior, the same spirit, the same attitude that Micaiah did. Whatever my God says, that's what I'm going to say. And we can never let people change what God says. We can never let situations change what God says. We can never let circumstances change what God says. We need to be like those people that if God said it, that settles it. End of story. And it's that simple. That's what Micaiah was saying. If God said it, then that settles it. That's what Peter and John were saying. If God said it, that settles it. That's done. I don't have to go anywhere else or do any other thing to make something up. It's just that simple. If God said it, that's it. Whatever God says, I'm going to say. That needs to rule our lives. When we interact with people in the world, that needs to rule our lives. Whatever God says, that's what I'm going to speak. when I'm interacting with family, when I'm interacting with people at school, when I'm interacting with people on the job or at a store or wherever, what needs to rule my response, my words, is simply that. Whatever God said, that's what I'm going to speak. Now I want to look very quickly at four subjects that tend to be ones that are difficult when people ask us questions about, and how we need to respond. Well, we need to respond just like Micaiah. One of the most difficult ones today, of course, is marriage and divorce. When we turn it to Matthew 19, God makes it very clear, and we don't have to worry about what God has said about it, because He left it very clear for us. In Matthew 19, the Pharisees, of course, are trying to trick Jesus, as they often were. And in Matthew 19, verse 3, we have, the Pharisees also came to Him, testing Him and saying to Him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And He answered and said to them, "Have you not read?" Or He might have said, "Don't you know what God said about it? Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.'" Notice He didn't immediately address the subject of divorce, because He had to give them the background of marriage. Marriage was what was so important. Well, then they said to Him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" Well, He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." And that's all we need to know. God has said it, and therefore that's what I speak. When people ask me about marriages and divorces and being remarried, what's my response? Just like Micaiah. I have to be just like Micaiah. Micaiah said, "Whatever God has said, that's what I'm going to speak." Well, that's what God said. Therefore, that's what I speak. That's my response. What's my response? Well, Matthew 19, those verses. And I know that's right because it came from God. And whatever Micaiah said was right because it came from God. And so that's my response. It's difficult to misunderstand those verses. It really is. It's difficult to misunderstand them. They're so plain and they're so simple and obvious that someone quite young can understand what those mean and their implications. And so that's my response. And so that's not an opinion or it's not anything else. It's just what God said about it. And I can't get people out of certain situations that they're in. Just like you can't get me out of certain situations I might get in. As we talked about last Sunday morning, I can't make you do what's right. It's impossible. You have to choose to do what's right. And that's the way it is with this. Going back to the days of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, they had to make decisions about what was right. They didn't have to listen to Micaiah. They could have totally ignored him. And usually that's what Ahab did. But it was up to them. Micaiah couldn't force those two kings to do what was right. All Micaiah's responsibility was, whatever my Lord says, that's what I'm going to speak. And then you choose to do with those words whatever you choose to do with them. And that's my response, and that should be your response. Okay, this is what God has said about it. And that's what I'm going to speak. And that's what we need to do. That's what we must do. That's what we're forced to do. And that's what we should want to do. Simply say what God has said. Because I cannot force people to do what's right. The only person I can force to do what's right is me. I can do what's right because I have control over myself, but I have control over no other person on earth. They choose to ignore God's word after they have seen God's word. That is something they have to answer for in judgment. But just like if someone would have came up to Noah and asked his advice about building an ark, he wasn't going to change it just because it was his son or wife or daughter-in-law or a friend. Micaiah would not have changed his remarks regardless of who asked him what God said. He was simply going to say what God said. And so we can't let personal situations change our response. When people ask us, what does the Bible say, then we need to just tell them what the Bible says. Regardless of the situation, what they do about it is their responsibility. I don't have to answer for them on the day of judgment. But if I give them the wrong advice, if I tell them something that the Bible doesn't say, then I'm responsible on the day of judgment. Micaiah would have been too. If Micaiah would have came back and told Ahab and Jehoshaphat something God had not told him to say, then he would have been wrong, and then he would have had to answer for it. Look at the second topic, the church. We live in a very pluralistic society, a society that basically says all faiths and religions and everything are okay, but that's not what the Bible says at all. Jesus said in Matthew 16 he was going to build one church, and that's what he did. He only built one church. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that those who are saved are added to one church, Acts 2, verse 47. That's what the Bible says. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're given a whole list of things that God, through Christ, has done for the church. He's the head of the church. He's the Savior of the church. He washed and sanctified and cleansed but one church. That's all, just one. That's what the Bible says. So when people ask me then about the church and about the body of Christ and about Jesus being the Savior, what am I supposed to do? Just like Micaiah. Whatever my Lord says, that I will speak. Jesus said He would build but one church, and that has to be what I tell people. I can never imply or even directly say that He came to build more than one, because that's not what God said. He's the Savior of but one church, and therefore that's my responsibility to tell people if they ask me. And if we're talking about those things, that's my responsibility. And if I give them the wrong advice, if I tell them something that's not in the Bible, that doesn't have a thus saith the Lord behind it, then I have sinned. And I'm responsible for that. But as long as I tell them what the Bible says, what God says, then the decision is up to them. They can either do what's right or do what's wrong. They either make the right choice or the wrong choice. And that, of course, is the same thing with no person can understand what it takes to be saved. It's not a very complicated subject. It's very clear what the Bible says. First of all, our faith, the faith that we have in the risen Savior, in Jesus Christ, is based upon God's Word, Romans 10:17. And so when people tell me, well, where does faith come from? Is it something that comes directly from God? Does it come from a personal experience? What's my responsibility? Whatever God says, whatever my Lord says, that I will speak. God has spoken, and God says faith comes from God's Word. Therefore, that's my responsibility to tell people. But then I need to tell them the rest of the story. I need to tell them what Acts 17:30 says. That God in times past has overlooked people's ignorance, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And so there's my responsibility. There's my Micaiah responsibility. That's what God has said. That's what I must speak then. That repentance is essential for all men everywhere. I also must tell them about Romans 10:10. that one must make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He's the Messiah, the living God, and that that confession leads to salvation. That's what the Bible says. So that's my responsibility. And then I must also tell them what Peter told those people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38, that they had to repent and be baptized, be immersed in water for the purpose of having their sins forgiven. And no, it's not an opinion or anything else. It's simply, whatever my Lord has said, that I will speak. That's what the Bible has spoken, and so therefore that's my responsibility. And to tell people that they can be saved in any other way is wrong. I simply don't have that authority. Micaiah didn't have the authority to change God's Word. I don't have the authority to change God's Word, and neither does anybody else on earth. I have a responsibility, and so do you. And lastly, the Bible says how one is to live faithfully. God's Word says we're to grow, 2 Peter 1. We're to live where we're immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15. I'm to add all these wonderful Christian graces to my life, like patience and godliness and so forth. That's what I'm to tell people. And that the Christian life is not an on-again, off-again, on-again, off-again type of life. And so when people ask me, and when I'm talking with people, that's my response. Why? Because whatever my Lord has said, that I will speak. And that's your responsibility too. No, you can't force them to do right. You can't force them to do the right thing or make the right decision. They must do that on their own. Your responsibility, just like Micaiah's, is not to change God's Word one tiny little bit. Not to make people feel good. Not to have people stay in situations where they don't need to stay in. Not to tell people everything is fine and all right. That's not your responsibility. That's not what you're to do. You're to be just like Micaiah. Whatever God has said, that's what I will speak. And that's the way it is. And that's my responsibility and yours and everybody's that's a Christian. We have no right to change anything for our family, to make our family feel better, to make our friends feel better, to make our co-workers feel better, or anybody feel better. Because the only thing that can make them better is Christ. And if I in any way imply or teach something that does not come from God's Word, then He will hold me responsible for that. Just like in the days of Ezekiel, when he said, if you tell people what they need to do, and they choose not to do it, the blood's going to be on their heads and not yours. But he also comes back and says, if you don't tell people what they need to do, and they don't do it, there's going to be blood on their heads, but blood on yours too. And that's what Micaiah was doing. That's what he was doing. What God had spoken, he was speaking. And that's our job. That's our responsibility. And that's actually a privilege. To be able to tell people, be able to speak to people, what God wants them to do. I think that should be the way all of us should feel. We've talked this morning what the Bible says to do to be saved. Maybe some needs to be saved this morning by having their sins washed away. Some maybe have not been living faithfully, and because of what the Bible says, not because of what I say or Ruth says or anybody else says, but because what God said, then you need to make those changes. For Christians, that means asking for forgiveness, repenting, making changes. And so God's Word is laid open for us. We have an opportunity and a chance to do what's right, but no one's going to force you to do what's right. No one's going to force you to make those decisions. They have to come from inside you. They have to be from your own free will. These actions that you need to take must come from your own decisions. Decisions to do what's right. Not because such and such said it or that person said it, because God said it. And that's why you do it. And so I encourage you, as we stand in a moment to sing this invitation song, to think about, what do I need to do to make my life right? And whatever that is, I encourage you to make those decisions while we stand and sing this song.